Yes, General. Let's see, I wrote you a letter yesterday. I didn't know you were out touring. I told him I wanted you to take Ms. Eisenhower and get some of your old friends and use Camp David once in a while. Well, I just told him and you just let us know, so I don't think you'd want to have me listening over your shoulder, but we might both run into each other, and you just let me know when you come in, and we won't be there, or vice versa. But you can handle 20 up there, and I'll have them all set for you, and they got a nice swimming pool, and they got a nice bowling alley. You know about it, though, but I thought you'd have some old friends you'd like to see while you're around.
Action to take on Westmoreland's recommendations, although
although the odds are 99-1, you know what they'd be without my telling you. But I called in the Joint Chiefs because I wanted each one of them to evaluate Westmoreland's recommendations. I want the Marine man, the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, the Admiral in charge of the Navy, and the Admiral General Johnson of the Army. I went around the table, each one of them. We spent 4 hours yesterday. We need this many helicopters, we need this many of this, and the net of it was they all supported unanimously Westmoreland and Taylor's recommendations and the field recommendations. So then the civilian secretaries, they charge McNamara as a computerized the department, and that he is a fair-haired boy, and he's a whiz kid, whatever they call him, and that I'm downgrading the military. Now, I don't want to do that because the Congress sent them up to advise me. So I had all of them come in. And then this morning I got the secretaries in. I'm supposed to have a meeting with them at 11:45, and I'm running about 5 minutes late. But I'm having them then pass upon the Westmoreland recommendations. In the meantime, while I'm doing that, there's no great emergency for a day or two. We want to get the communists out of session at Bucharest. They're supposed to adjourn this week. Then I told Dirksen and them this morning that if you just quit Jerry Ford and Mel Laird, and Laird is trying to get Ford's job. They're fighting each other on the television every day. Charlie Halleck is he's trimmed down a little bit, looks fine, and he's the best leader they've had, but they ran over Charlie up there, and these two so-called modern boys are fighting, and Dirksen tells me that he thinks that Charlie is in the wing waiting to come back. What we're going to do is Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, when we reach our conclusions and decide what we ought to recommend, and I think everybody will be together, every Democrat or Republican. I told him yesterday to be sure to get General Goodpaster to review the details with you. I called in John McCloy. I got in Arthur Dean. I have reviewed with them these recommendations. Then I will call in the leaders. The moment I call them in, though, it's going to be in the papers. They will not come down here from Passman on up or down when you tell them how much money you need, but what they go to the papers. And I have tried to get the generals and the admirals and the leaders out there together before I brief them, although I have briefed Dirksen some. Dirksen is an old war horse, and he's strictly for his country, and he's about the best thing I've got. In other words, Dirksen supports me pretty well, like Rayburn and I supported you on matters that affected the nation. Just what you ought to do, and I appreciate you calling me, and I appreciate their calling you. As long as they're calling you, they're not going to be too erratic. We surely will. Now, we've got authority to call up the reserves, but Ford got into a political. He said, well, you called up the reserves in the Cuban Missile Crisis. You called up the reserves in the after Khrushchev's meeting in Vienna. And he said, we never had to call up the reserves in 8 years of Eisenhower. So I think Johnson ought to come down here, and he ought to be questioned why it is that he has to call up the reserves when we didn't have to call them up under Eisenhower. Dirksen is sound and able, and old man Charlie Halleck is, and these boys got a short run, but I'll tell Dirksen to call them and tell them that Mel Laird and Jerry, just not to get excited, that this is going to be a long, drawn-out affair, and I have had more meetings with the leadership in the first 6 months of this year than any president has had with any leadership in the history. And as a matter of fact, the last time, we had them in here on the Dominican crisis. Ford was criticized because we had them too often. And I busted up a Republican dinner out here the night I sent the Marines in to, they had a $100 dinner. And he's going about that. Dirksen came over this morning, sat down with me for over an hour, and I told him, now, are you going to be here tomorrow? And he said, well, he'd like to take off tomorrow. I said, well, I'll try to get with you all Monday or Tuesday when we have made up our minds, when we get the communists busted up out there. I don't want to overplay this thing. I may put them in of the 100,000. I may put in 40 at one time and 40 at another and 20 at another so that it doesn't scare the British and scare hell out of everybody else that we're going into a world war. What we are going in with is what the every commander says we need to hold what we've got so that they can launch some offensives. We talked this over with you when you were at lunch that day. Well, I'll just sure tell him and tell Everett to tell him, and if you have to talk back to him, you tell him you had to talk, and of course I'm going to talk to all of them before we do anything, and they're going to know every bit of it, and that when they leave here, they can come back on their own motion anytime they want to, and I don't want to keep any secrets. I want all of them in on it with me. Thank you. Not try it in the newspaper, and they just put water on Mansfield's and on Morris's paddle when they answer it. If they want to see the president, give them any advice, their door, my door's open anytime, day or night. I welcome them with open arms, and they can come tell me, but they ought to be answering. Morris gets up and makes a speech, and nobody pays any attention to it. The next day, Ford gets up and answers Morris. Then everybody pays attention. You see what I mean? And our Joint Chiefs of Staff just shook their head yesterday when we were talking about these things. And if we could get Morris and Ford to quit talking, it'd be a lot better. Thank you so much. Bye.